Welcome to everyone listening all around the world, all across the United States. We are coming to you live from the UAP headquarters, which tonight is the Coast to Coast AM studios right here in Los Angeles, California. Standing in on this Saturday evening, I am your host, Jimmy Church. And tonight, my guests are John Greenwald and Micah Hanks. Now, let me get straight to it. Earlier this week, the Navy and the Pentagon decided to release, with quotes, three UFO videos, officially, again with quotes, whatever that means. But FLIR, also known as the Nimitz video, was shot in November 2004 and has been in the public domain since 2007. The Gimbal and GoFast videos, again, using those with quotes, those are the names that the public has given these videos, were shot in 2015, and both have been in the public domain now for a couple of years. Now, we know that these videos have been around for a long time, circulating inside of the UFO community on the net and on every major media outlet in the world. This official, again with quotes, release has created three groups. The first group are those who don't think that there is anything in these videos that are alien or ET. The second group, they believe that the videos contain real evidence of aliens visiting our planet. And the third group is brand new. That third group, they have seen these videos for the first time. They heard the news for the first time, and they are in total shock right now. Now, I know that it may seem strange that there might be people out there right now who haven't watched Fox News over the last 2 years, who don't read the news or follow the media, who have never heard of Tom DeLonge or TTSA, but it's actually true. All right, this is the biggest group of the three. And as crazy as it sounds, I'll say it. This is a good thing. Today, when I watch these videos, this is my own personal take, by the way. I don't see anything alien or ET. And everything about the videos, to me, just seems like normal stuff. And that's fine. My opinion just simply doesn't matter, right? But it's the opinion of the Navy that matters. And apparently, they don't see anything alien or ET either. From Pentagon spokesman Sue Gao is this quote from their statement. Quote, after a thorough review, the department has determined that the authorized release of these unclassified videos does not reveal any sensitive capabilities or systems, and does not impinge on any subsequent investigations of military airspace incursions by unidentified aerial phenomena, end quote. Now, after reading this statement many times over the last week, I come to only one conclusion. The Navy wouldn't release any videos if they did have something extraterrestrial in them. The line from the statement, which says these unclassified videos does not reveal any sensitive capabilities or systems, end quote, kind of says it all for me. You see, an alien craft visiting this planet would definitely have, and I quote, sensitive capabilities and systems. The importance of the work of John Greenwald over the last 2 years, the constant pressure he put on the Pentagon to give these statements cannot be measured. Without the relentless badgering from John, the Pentagon wouldn't have said or done anything this week. In fact, I doubt that anyone inside the walls of the Pentagon are talking about these videos or wasting their time with them. They know they don't have aliens from Zeta Reticuli. They know this. Now, that doesn't mean, and I want to be clear, that does not mean the Pentagon doesn't have videos with ET. That doesn't mean that the Pentagon doesn't have knowledge or evidence about extraterrestrials visiting this planet. It just means that these videos are not evidence of an alien presence on Earth. The Navy won't be releasing anything like that, ever. And you can bet on it. But, and this is the best part, listen to me. What the Navy did this week is help bring the UFO and ET question right out front, back into the media, and once again expose a larger portion of the world to the issue. Now, I have always said that I don't need disclosure in the classic sense. But for many, disclosure will always mean one thing, and that's the President of the United States on live television stepping up to the podium and stating, UFOs and ETs are real, have been visiting this planet, we have made contact. Anything short of that is not disclosure for all of you. And I get it. I really do. For me, I think that disclosure has been going on for the last 80 years. And it's a long process for sure. But there is one thing we haven't heard from the Pentagon, and that is that we are alone in the universe. That is the part that Sue Gow left out in the statement released this week, which may be the most important thing when you read between the lines. Now, sure, I understand. ET may not be in these particular videos, but the next project for John Greenwald should be getting the Pentagon to admit that they do have the real deal stuff, but it ain't getting released, ever. Now, that would be disclosure. Now, you see, I am sure that the Pentagon has not heard or responded to the last email or phone call from Greenwald on this or any other UFO-related matter. And they know this. There's another dynamic to this entire story that has not been addressed. The supporters of these three videos have clearly stated over the last 2 years that they got the Pentagon to release them already. Right? And they tried to convince the world of this fact with an official release form. In fact, I covered this story last year on Coast with John Greenwald. So the question is, how many times have these videos been officially released? Well, we're going to find out because tonight, my guest is John Greenwald. Later on tonight, Micah Hanks will be with us. And we're going to be talking about the rise of the UFO researcher and alternative media. So turn down the lights and get ready. This is another Saturday night event here on Coast to Coast AM. You can follow me right now on Twitter at JChurchRadio. If you go over to the Coast to Coast AM website, you'll see my name right there. Right next to it, it says Twitter. You can just click on that and follow me. Twitter is always live to my left. Any questions or comments, you can post them, and maybe your tweet will get right on the air, but Gina's got to say it is so. Enjoy the bumper music tonight, and later on, we're going to be opening up the phone lines with both John and Micah. Let's do this. I am your host, Jimmy Church, and I'll be right back with my first guest, John Greenwald. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, standing in on this Saturday evening, heading into Sunday. You can certainly follow me on Twitter, and I hang out on Twitter during all of the commercial breaks. So you can follow me right there at J Church Radio. You can also follow tonight's guest, John Greenwald, at BlackVault.com on Twitter. Don't ask any questions. That's the way John decided to do it many years ago. John began researching the secret inner workings of the United States government in 1996 at the age of 15. He began targeting such groups as the CIA, the FBI, the Pentagon, the Air Force, the Army, Navy, the NSA, the DIA, and countless others. He utilized the Freedom of Information Act to gain access to thousands of records. He accumulated an astonishing number of documents on the topics related to UFOs, the JFK assassination, chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons, and top secret aircraft. Greenwald named his online archive the Black Vault. It's the largest private online collection anywhere in the world with millions of pages of material. I'd like to welcome back to Coast to Coast AM, John Greenwald. John, good evening, man. How are you?
Hey Jimmy, it's good to be here. I'm good, thank you. How you doing?
Do you ever get tired, John, of making national news headlines every week?
well, I don't know if I can account for all of them, but no, it's a good feeling, just in the sense that I would say hard work pays off, and it is good to see this information, this topic, get into the headlines. And again, whether or not I am entwined in it or not, it's good to see, because there's a lot of people working hard out there, and I'd like to think I'm one of them as well. And so it's good to see some serious coverage. There's still the jokes out there, but it's good to see the coverage.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to get to all of that. I do want to say one thing, though. I really respect the media to give you the shout out and the credit when credit is due. I'm always watching the headlines and I'm reading through this and I know what's going on. And to see that, it just makes me feel pretty good because that doesn't normally happen, does it?
I appreciate that. And sadly, no, not all the time. And that's not just true with me. There's a lot of people that do a lot of hard work that don't
Right.
get the credit for it. And
Right.
the media takes that kind of like the surface story. They don't dig in, they don't see who the root of the story was. And that's always very hurtful, just because I know firsthand how hard it is sometimes to get this information out and get it into the forefront, and then the media just kind of gloms onto it and they do their 2-minute story on their primetime news broadcast, or they run their front page story. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, last September, when I had broken the Navy statement about the UAP admission, where they said that those three videos were unidentified aerial phenomena, there were a couple news agencies, and I won't name names, so there was a couple big news agencies that made it seem like they did it. And even though like 95% of the media out there was very, very cool and credited the Black Vault for it, there were a couple that just saw the headline, went to the Pentagon, got a copy and paste of the statement, and said, "This is what we got." It's like, well, wait a minute, come on. I worked on that for months. So it is frustrating to see, again, when people work hard to do it.
Now, let's talk about the elephant in the room here for a second. And it may not be what the audience thinks, but I'm going to make a suggestion. And that is if a flying saucer, a giant spacecraft, landed on the 405 freeway here in Los Angeles during rush hour traffic, that's going to make the news for about 15 minutes. 20 minutes later, you're going to have cars honking their horns. People yelling out the window, "Get that thing off of the freeway."
Right, yeah,
Right?
it's
And
ruining my commute.
you're ruining my commute. And I feel that this time around with this announcement, although it was covered heavily in the mainstream media, the reaction this time around versus what happened 2 years ago and last year with the UAP, this year with the heavy media coverage, the reaction from the public seemed to be more muted. Did that surprise you?
Not really. And I don't know if this was by design or not, but to release news like that in kind of the middle of a absolute domination by COVID-19 and the coronavirus pandemic of the news headlines, it didn't surprise me at all that this kind of fell flat with the general public. There was excitement. Obviously, the UFO community was very, very excited. Those that have paid attention since September of 2019, when the first Navy statement really kind of made a lot of headlines. For those that have paid attention since then, I don't think that they were excited, but I don't think they were too surprised. Other than that, I mean, it doesn't surprise me at all. People are so concerned about what the real elephant in the room is right now for most people, and that is, I want to get out of my house. I'm tired of this lockdown. And the UFO story this time around did its rounds, but it didn't linger. And I felt it lingered last time, but it didn't linger this time. And sadly, it just is not a surprise. And that may be by design. A lot of times, not just with UFO stories, but any kind of bombshell news with the United States military, the United States government, you'll notice that they come out with it generally on a Friday night. Late on a Friday, because the news cycle's over on a Friday, and Saturday and Sunday the news viewership pretty much kind of dies down, and then Monday it starts over again. And so that's generally when you see a lot of things drop. So for this to drop when it did, is that by design? I mean, obviously there's a lot of domination by much other news here with the coronavirus. So maybe that was part of the plan, but it didn't surprise me that it kind of fell flat.
Now, there are those out there that look at this announcement by the Pentagon and the statement by Su Gao that this is a confirmation that the UFO subject has now been confirmed. This is it. It's like case closed. Do you get that feeling from the statement from the Pentagon, or is this, you know, people just reading and wanting to see and hear what they want to see and hear?
I think people, in large part, are looking into this as what they want to hear and what they want confirmed for themselves. And I'm not saying that I'm, you know, completely disagreeing with that, if it's right or wrong or whatever. For me, I'm indifferent. But I do know that when people look at something like this, they are going to hear what they want to hear. The reality is the Navy is clueless on what these things are, period. That's it. That doesn't mean aliens. That doesn't mean top secret technology. That doesn't mean the Russians have something and they're invading. It doesn't mean any of that. It means there's a big question mark. That is really what we have to take away from this, and that's it. If we try and build off of that, that's when we get into dangerous territory and start kind of filling in the middle. And I see that. Like, there was one big news outlet, their headline literally when they put it on Twitter was, aliens are real. Like, that, those three words were their headline, major news organization. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Where did you ever go from these videos are unidentified objects to this is alien, you know? And that's a very dangerous leap to make, and dangerous in the sense that that's not what this is all about. And then that's where that stigma, which that's the word that we keep hearing about in the last couple of years, the stigma that's attached to this. In one side, they're saying the stigma is nobody wants to come forward because they're afraid.
Right.
Well, to be honest with you, there's also part of it that there's a stigma around this that it's like if you hear UFO, it's automatically alien, and then you think the people are cuckoo that are believing in it. And that also just has to go away. We have to take this for what it is, and it's very important. Don't get me wrong. I'm not belittling it. But it's very important, but we have to take it for what it is, and then move forward and see what else we can get and go after those videos that you talked about in your introduction. We know there's got to be more. In fact, we know for a fact that there's more, and we know that because there's no way in heck that there's only three videos, something that they term unidentified aerial phenomena, and that's it. It just ended there. The possibilities of that are pretty much nil. So they have this designation. So there are more videos. There just has to be. But will we get them? And that's what I'm pursuing now and have been for some time.
Now, can you comment on what was going on behind the scenes? You were pushing through Freedom of Information Act documents to get these videos officially released and some other stuff related to the same subject. The timing of everything seems to be related. Was it because of your pressure that Su Gao finally convinced the Pentagon that they had to take an official position? You know, what's your take on that?
I don't know 100% if it was my FOIA request. I can say that I had worked very, very hard since early May of 2019, almost a year ago to the date, when I started pursuing getting these videos declassified. And to make this the long story short, what was very interesting about the process was I had the Secretary of Defense's office pointing the finger at the Navy. The Navy was pointing the finger back at the Secretary of Defense. Nobody knew who had the videos. Nobody knew where they were. I tried through the press offices, but I was shot down. They said that they wouldn't release anything. That's generally not what their job is. But through FOIA, I was fighting and was starting to get a runaround. And so I finally just picked up the phone and called the Pentagon's FOIA office, and I said, look, I waited months. You guys forwarded it to one agency. That agency's forwarding it back to you. What's going on? We finally got it cleared up to where the Navy was the one that was going to be reviewing the videos, and they had the videos. Now, fast forward to September of 2019, when the Navy says, yes, those three videos are unidentified aerial phenomena, a viral story that went, you know, worldwide. At the same time, I was told that NAVAIR, the Naval Air Systems Command, was the one that, quote-unquote, owned the videos. And at that moment, I don't believe I published that, and it was by design. There was no reason for me to at that point, but I needed to get the videos themselves. And at that moment, I said, and I think it was actually with you, but I'm not sure, when we did one of our shows together,
right.
I said, the moment they said that they are unidentified aerial phenomena, that in itself is admitting the videos are real.
Okay, let's stop right there. We're going to pick up when we come back. Very important point. Our guest tonight, John Greenwald. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Our guest tonight is John Greenwald, and we're talking about the official release of three UFO videos by the Pentagon. Our guest tonight, John Greenwald, the biggest story probably in the history of UFOs is continuing, and we will do all of that when we come back after this short break. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. You can follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio, and you can follow John Greenwald at BlackVault.com on Twitter. And I wanted to say before we get back to John that his new book, Secrets from the Black Vault, The Army's Plan for a Military Base on the Moon, and Other Declassified Documents That Rewrote History, was just released on April 15th. It was virtually last week. And, John, everybody can just go to theblackvault.com and Amazon and find the book, right?
That's right, yeah. Every major brick-and-mortar store's got it, and Amazon and direct through theblackvault.com, that's right.
Okay, and I'm just going to give you a brief hard time about your Twitter handle, blackvault.com, throwing everybody off. Was it the last choice in a black vault? On Twitter?
Sadly, yeah. So it's, the com with the .com, but you can't have a period, so it's just blackvault.com. That was it. But, yeah, there were other handles I couldn't do. I mean, ideally, I would have done, like, the Black Vault, but that was taken, sadly.
Somebody beat you to it.
Somebody beat me to it, yeah. I was kind of a latecomer to the Twitterverse many moons ago now, but still considered a latecomer. So, yeah, I missed out on my own name.
Now, let's get back to where we left off, because last year, when the UAP story broke, which was immediate, and we turned around and did a booking for you on Coast to Coast the next day, and that was a big weekend, not only for Coast to Coast and the Coast audience, but the rest of the world, that was a huge story. And I think that all of us did consider your words that you used before the break here, was that once the Navy said UAP, that was confirmation for all of us that the videos were authentic, right?
Correct. Yeah. So my aim at that point was to go after, very much like the DOD statement had said, that there is no longer video. But I was seeking out a longer video to see what else was there. It doesn't seem like there's a beginning and an end. At least that's my impression of it. When you watch it, I feel like it's the middle, you know?
That's right.
So I believe that there's a head and a tail on it, and where's the head and the tail? We only get kind of the middle part of it. So that was my one objective. The other thing that I think we talked about on Coast when we did that show was the fact that I was able to get the Navy to admit to me that the videos were always considered unclassified. Now, why does that even matter? Well, there's two reasons. One is, why would they be unclassified? You would think that there would be some level of secrecy here, whether it be even confidential or secret or top secret. Why wouldn't there be? That was number one. But number two, that solidified, absolutely solidified, that my case through the Freedom of Information Act, that I had already gone through kind of this runaround process, but I didn't give up and I kept filing. And then again, picked up the phone and got the Pentagon to sort it out. But it solidified that one day they would be in a pickle, meaning the DOD. And that pickle was they admitted they're unclassified, so they can't withhold them unless they give some kind of good reason. But for an unclassified record, that's a big challenge for them, even though it was for official use only. And there are a couple tests that it does have to pass, like the review where there's no sensitive imagery or anything like that. But regardless, once they said it was unclassified, I knew they would have to come out in some way in the future. And when I also received the statement of who was the one that had to review them, that was kind of the nail in the coffin that this was going to happen. It was a matter of time. And so fast forward to the beginning of this last week, I had received the Freedom of Information Act request that morning when they dropped on NAVAIR's website. And the Freedom of Information Act request stated, the response, I should say, stated, we reviewed the videos, we've put them on NAVAIR's website, so you can download them here. They offered the link, and that was it. The story was very quickly viral soon thereafter. And whether or not that Freedom of Information Act request was the one that put him in that position, I'm not really sure. But I will say this. Because of that pickle that I just referenced, you know, that they were kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, that there was no getting out of this, my guess, my opinion, is the DOD was proactive with this. And they went ahead and did this on their own to make it seem like they were being transparent, even though legally they had to do it anyway. Because my FOIA request was there, it was in the right place, and it had the right argument for a unclassified record to be released. And so they had a choice. Do we do this proactively, make it look like we're transparent, or do we do this and hope John doesn't get anybody's attention? And with what happened in September and that story going viral, I think it was better for them to say, hey, look, guys, we're giving this to you. We don't know what they are, but it's not any big deal. And I think that that was very much a PR effort on their side to kind of proactively do it. And within the hour, send the FOIA response to me saying, here you go.
Now, there's two questions that need to be addressed. One, how many times can the Navy officially release a video? Because it appears to me now the number is three. That's the first point. And the second point is, the videos that were released are the same third and fourth generation videos that have been already out on the web. These aren't high res perfect videos that should be on the Pentagon's hard drives. Where are the real videos?
Well, the first part of that question gets me in trouble, but this is the honest truth based on evidence. I don't believe that the videos were officially released more than one time. Just don't. The paperwork, and this goes into a show in itself, but the short of it is the official paperwork that was filed to get those videos out, those documents I received under the Freedom of Information Act as well. They originally leaked. However, later I was able to get them through the FOIA, and on top of that, get all of the internal emails on getting those videos released. It gets into kind of a gray area, but in my opinion, based on the evidence that's come out, and I'm open to additional information, should maybe the DOD have held something back or something like that and didn't tell me, I'm open to that when more evidence comes around. But the bottom line is, I do not believe that they were officially released. I do believe they were a leak. When the DOD calls them unauthorized disclosure, a.k.a. a leak, the evidence really actually does point to that. So the claims that have been kind of floating around about the videos being officially released in 2017, as a researcher, I just got to go by what the evidence says, and to me, it's just not there to confirm that. So I think the official release this week was the first and only. And so on to your next question, where are the higher res versions? That's the million-dollar question at this point. There's a couple ways to look at it. It's there and the DOD is lying because they said that those were the highest available, or they don't really care about the videos a whole bit. They exported what they did, and that's what we see. They did whatever they did internally with them, whether it was an investigation, whether it was a, you know, training presentation. There's a million variables there that these could be exported the way that they were. But the bottom line is that they just didn't care to save the higher resolution versions. That sounds silly, but doing research, you got to look at all possibilities until you can rule it out. And we just don't have an answer. So what I was really aiming for, going back to the FOIA request, was getting a higher resolution version. The press office had already told me those were the highest resolutions available, but I still went through FOIA to see if maybe I'd get a different response. Obviously, I did not. So million-dollar question. We have no way to answer it at this point, though.
Now, do you believe that the Pentagon would ever release a video and say that it's extraterrestrial?
I don't.
I'm not talking about the content of these videos. That the videos are already out there and opinions have been established. But in the future, do you ever see that happening?
I don't. And the reason, very quickly, the reason is number one, it would be highly classified. And the reason why it would be highly classified is at that moment, when you admit that there's a higher intelligence out there that can do things that outperforms, meaning, you know, star travel and all, outperforms the United States, that in itself is a national security risk. It doesn't matter which way you want to look at alien life, and this is the greatest discovery that humankind can ever make, and this and that. It doesn't matter. You got to look at it in the eyes of the intelligence community, the military, the government, and again, taking the most powerful nation in the world and then putting them farther back in line. That in itself is a national security risk to America, and that in itself defines classification and security. And so, in my opinion, yeah, anything like that would be very highly classified, and I wouldn't see that coming out and seeing the light of day, at least not anytime soon.
And then there's the other part, and it's what the Pentagon hasn't said and isn't saying, which is that we are alone in the universe, right? That part hasn't been mentioned at all. So it's like the Pentagon wants it both ways by not saying everything that they could.
Well, I think that they're treading very carefully here. You're talking about the press release, and they're not saying that, right?
Or any time in the past.
Or any time.
Right.
I mean, I think that they have to tread very carefully. I'll hone in just on this press release. They're not going to go that direction because they don't want to make that connection. They want to say, we have these videos. Yes, they're real. We don't know what they are, period. That's it. The speculation then is done by the general public, which in my opinion actually helps them, because the speculation on both sides of the fence, you've got these arguments saying, well, this is it. You add in the testimony of the military pilots and this has to be extraterrestrial. Then you've got, you know, the other side of the fence. They're arguing, this is all you got, grainy videos, low resolution, this is the best you got. Come on, you got to do better than this. And that kind of intellectual battle between the two sides of this debate mm-hmm. is kind of what the government wants, because you don't have a clear-cut answer to this. And I think that that's what they want. So they don't need to even touch the alien question. They don't need to go there at all, because the general public will. And once the general public will, that battle just makes this entire debate never-ending. And without answer, without end.
Right.
And I think that that's what they want.
Now, does it also allow, and this is the dark side of things, does this also allow deflection, right? Whatever the Pentagon may be working on, or the Navy, or the Air Force, whatever the inner workings of the Pentagon inside those walls is left to run amok. Right. While the rest of the public is debating about the content and the importance of these three videos. And they'll allow that debate to continue forever because it takes attention off of other things that they may be working on. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't think we can shy away from that. I think the debate about something extraordinary by the general public is, again, feeding that DOD's desire to have us continue to do that, because behind the scenes, they are developing, if aliens are here or not, doesn't matter, they are developing the most highly classified, highly secretive pieces of technology that are flying in our skies. So whether or not there's any alien connection to UFOs, it really doesn't matter. The never-ending argument and debate between skeptics and believers is going on over here on the left side of the planet, while on the right side of the planet, internally, in the shadows, the government is creating these classified programs and, you know, testing their own technology. And that kind of what I call the greatest trick of the magician, just have people look over there so you don't see what's going on over here, is exactly what they would want in a situation like this. So, yeah, I would think that that's what they're going for.
Are you surprised about the amount of people out there that didn't and weren't aware of these videos and the news coverage over the last 2 years, when it was in prime time for nearly 12 months every single night on mass media, and to have the reaction from people thinking that these are new videos? And I've read it over and over and over again now, and I almost couldn't believe it. But apparently that's the case, isn't it?
Sadly, yeah. I mean, the general public is very forgetful. And I don't mean that condescendingly. I just mean that because it's the reality of it. You know, I mean, what you hear on a nightly news broadcast on Monday, you're hearing something totally different on Tuesday or Wednesday, and you kind of forget what happened on Monday. So it really kind of doesn't surprise me. And yeah, when the news cycle happened 2 years ago and these videos were all over the place, who knows? Maybe there were that group of people just wasn't paying attention. Maybe they didn't have the television on. But the bottom line is, we live in a very forgetful society, and what comes out on a Monday is often forgotten about the next day.
Now, I want to let everybody know that we'll be taking your phone calls in the next segment with John. So get ready for that. And leading into that, for you, when it comes to your work with the Black Vault, what is next in this story?
Well, I want to know the root of why this last week happened. I want to know not whether or not it's the FOIA request or whatever, but I want to know what the internal debate is. So I filed FOIA requests throughout multiple agencies to try and figure out the line of reasoning. And I've actually done that quite a few times in the past with success, where you get internal emails about the discussion about unidentified aerial phenomena and UFOs. And I've written a couple articles about it. One that sticks out to me is the internal emails between the Air Force and the Navy around the time that I got the statements that I did last year. And I was able to kind of see essentially why the Air Force was quiet, and that was the Air Force spokesperson, whether you believe her or not, that's a different debate, but her internal email was talking about the unidentified aerial phenomena designation and the fact that the Navy put that out there. And she was saying they meant, unidentified drones and other unmanned aerial systems, and the media turned that into UFOs and aliens. And it was a very kind of different perspective to see internally from the military branch that has been eerily quiet about the UAP issue. They have not really said anything about UFOs or UAP. The Navy has definitely gone out on a limb and said a lot in the last 6 months to a year. The DOD obviously has kind of flip-flopped on a couple things, have stood strong on a couple things, but they're at least somewhat talking. But the Air Force has been quiet. So what I go after are documents to show the internal workings of all of these agencies to see what's there. Obviously, additional videos. If these three videos are considered unclassified and they are designated UAPs, I would bet money that there are more, as we've already discussed. So I'm going after to see how many more. What are they? Can I get them? If they're unclassified but they won't release them, why won't they? If they are classified, why are they classified? That kind of thing. And you just kind of, you keep digging. One very quick thing, because I know you're coming up to a break, but one very quick note is that some people, there's a faction of people that don't care about the official release. They say, we've had these videos for 2+ years. Who cares if the Navy officially released them or not? I've known that they're real, so who cares? The reason is from a legal standpoint, in the eyes of the FOIA, I really can't cite a leaked document at all. So regardless of the debate on whether or not these were leaked or not, the DOD considered them a leak.
Well, let me jump in right there. Let me jump in right there, John. We do have to take a break. And to John's point, he doesn't publish anything on the Black Vault without having it be an official document. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. More with John, and your phone calls are next.